It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number three, which means it is time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. I've got a full couple, two, three pages here of questions, Ross.
Let's get to all of them.
Lots of them.
12 minutes.
So what did you, you guys didn't do an Ask Ross last Thursday because I wasn't here, or you still did?
We did.
Okay, so who was the imposter Ross?
It was Dustin and Andy combo.
It's so dandy.
It was mostly... It took two of us to fill the shoes because they're two big shoes.
Don't tell him that.
Okay. I won't. But just remember, your question, his answer, the one that is deemed number one this week, will receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You get various rubs and sauces for all of your barbecue rubs, sauces, and wine needs. Go to 409tailgateclub.com. Ross, are you ready? This comes from Joe in Nashville. Trace McSorley will be remembered as one of the greatest quarterbacks in Penn State history.
The greatest quarterback in Penn State history. I don't know if people will give him that because Blackledge won a national championship.
Right.
But in my mind, if you look at what he did, his career, he is the greatest quarterback in Penn State history.
All right. Part of his legacy will be his creative celebration and entertainment factor. He was just fun to watch. I have two questions. Is there any other player in Penn State history that you can think of who would have come close to his complete entertainment value?
Complete? Is it like the baseball swing thing?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you have to remember when Joe coached, I don't think any of that. I don't think that was going to fly. Yeah. Michael Robinson was a guy that was a really fun guy to watch and very outgoing, but there were limits with Joe, and I think that James allows things a little bit more than maybe some other Penn State coaches.
For pure entertainment, DJ Dozier had a touchdown. So he did the sign of the cross.
Right.
Remember? Boom, 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 boom. Isn't that amazing? I'm almost 40 years old.
And you remember
and
that.
I can still remember when I was 5 and 6, DJ Dozier, number 42.
Yeah.
And by the way, what would you say Penn State had the best ever for sure in 1986?
Best ever?
How
about inside linebackers with Trey and Shane Conlin? Fullback with Steve Smith and the other guy.
And Manoa.
Yeah.
Best
Manoa.
Fullbacks in college football history. Tim Manoa and Steve Smith.
We should do additional podcasts
where we just reminisce about the old days. Do you know off the top of your head, Andy, who had the interception in the Fiesta Bowl? I'm asking Andy, boss man.
I would have known that because I watched the game. It was Pete Giftopoulos.
Pete Giftopoulos. You know where he's from?
Is he from New York?
Canada.
I knew it was like...
Also, Milne and Whitman in 94.
We imported a national championship. You probably didn't know that.
Milne and Whitman were pretty good in 94.
Oh, that's a good point.
Pretty good.
But Tim Manoa was so awesome.
I understand.
Tim Manoa.
I understand.
All right, so what was the question?
I'm done.
Anybody more entertaining?
Yeah, I'm done. We'll move on.
I don't know. I mean... Saquon Barkley was more entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, Trace was great, but if I had to pay $5, I'd pay for Saquon over Trace to watch the game. Saquon's going to make some dudes look bad.
Matt in Camp Hill asks, who's the next college football coach to win his first national title?
Ooh.
Kirby Smart. That's an easy one. Kirby Smart. Georgia has – those guys are total freaks. They are recruiting. I mean, right now, the top four recruits are all SEC schools. And Georgia was first last year. They're second right now. They've been top three every year under Kirby Smart. Right. The thing that's crazy is some of their biggest freaks, like DeAndre Swift, is from Philly.
Correct.
That's what bothers me.
I might go Lincoln Riley there.
At Oklahoma.
Because Kirby Smart's got to navigate.
The Alabama path.
Yeah, I mean, I know we just talked about the SEC and tired of it.
But it's legit.
Lincoln's got a quicker, a little bit easier path, I think, sometimes. I think he's a very good coach as well.
Yeah, that's a good call. All right, Jesse in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ross, can you explain to me how the clock works when a player runs out of bounds? I went back through the last 10 minutes of Citrus Bowl, and the clock started several times within 3 seconds of the sideline referee waving the clock dead. I thought they had to reset the ball at the line of scrimmage. Can you help me out?
They do have to reset the ball at the line of scrimmage.
They do, but I noticed it as well, and I've noticed it and I'm not faulting it. I'm like, the clock runs faster. Otherwise, the games would be 5 hours, but they get the clock moving a lot faster, even on a play out of bounds.
I'm trying to think. Well, no, I actually, if they just run out of bounds, unless there's no, it does stop until they reset the ball.
Until they reset the ball.
I don't know
it
what.
Should.
It's
should.
Supposed to.
Right. All right, let's go to Joe and Jeanette. He says, two offensive linemen are leaving for the NFL draft. How is it that our offensive line had trouble at times this year blocking Big Ten defenders, these guys included, and yet they're ready for the NFL? Something doesn't seem right. I'm getting out of the way.
Well, I mean, first of all, just because a guy goes to the NFL or leaves to go to the NFL doesn't mean he's an NFL player that will ever make a team. You know, now I happen to think McGovern and Bates both will. I think both of them are pretty darn good, and they're very versatile, which will really help them to get backup gigs. That's what's going to save Bates. Bates is going to make a team because he can play both guards and both tackles in a pinch and probably even center.
Right.
So that's what's going to save Bates. But Bates is going to be a late-round pick because he doesn't really have any remarkable physical characteristics. McGovern's big and good. He's going to go higher.
Big and good.
Big and good. So he'll go higher. And the answer is a lot of those Big Ten guys are going against are pretty freaking good.
Look at Michigan guys, Chase Young. Chase Young's going to be a first-round pick.
Look at Michigan, Ohio State, but also Iowa and Wisconsin. Iowa's defensive line in that game was really, really good. And you're not going to look good. On a lot of plays because they are. I mean,
That AJ Espinosa kid.
Yeah, and that,
he'll be a first round.
Yeah,
pick
and they
next
had that. They had a couple of guys. 98 was good. Nelson. They had two Nelsons that were good. So you just the expectation is that they're going to dominate because they're good players. But the reality is that you know the defensive players are pretty good too. So
you know when he asked that question, I thought about it. I was like the offensive line. I thought did pretty good this year. I thought they struggled. Yeah. Maybe the bowl game. I'd seen them overtly struggle a little bit more. Than they had.
That's only because Josh Allen, I think, might be better, good or better than Bosa. Holy mackerel, is he good.
And they have some dudes in the middle, too, that get some push on. It's not just like it's him and everybody else. He's got some help around him.
That's the greatest player ascension, I think, ever. Two-star recruit to that. I mean, that guy is unreal. Unreal.
And I thought the offensive linemen struggled a little bit with the quickness and athleticism that Kentucky's front brought to the game. But I
was surprised by the mental errors.
Yes.
They had multiple mental errors in the game, and that was really disappointing. And a couple of them were the right side. And I don't know what happened there, but that was disappointing.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Go there for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, wine and catering needs. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, let's keep going with your questions. Jay in Westchester asks, when Corley was hired, the consensus on KSN was that you or I could have coached the receivers, quote unquote, because a wide receiver coach doesn't really impact anything. Now that the receivers have come off an inexplicably bad year, Corley is gone, and the blame is placed at his feet. Which is it?
I think it's a good question. Where is that one from?
Westchester. Jay in Westchester.
I think it's a good question. You know, it's not like he told the guys not to catch it when the ball comes to him, right? I mean, he clearly wanted them to catch the football. But at this level, these guys are making a lot of money. This is a serious business, college football. I mean, it is. That's the reality. And you're ultimately going to be judged by the end result, right? Like, there could be reasons why a team has a losing record, but nobody really cares. The head coach gets fired if that's the reason, right?
Right.
So there could be reasons why these kids drop so many passes, but he's their coach. Their performance wasn't up to snuff. And most importantly, DeAndre Tompkins, and especially Juwan Johnson, clearly regressed this year and took a step back. And maybe one of them, you know, has something going and blah, blah, blah. but it was both guys.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you can't even give them like, you can't give them the pass on the drops because there was lots of them. You can't give them the pass on one guy regressing because it was multiple. Yeah.
If you're going to be a so-so coach in year one, you better be a great recruiter. I don't think Corley was a great recruiter, and I think that also played into it.
And you need your wide receiver coach to be a great recruiter.
Yeah, you do.
And there's a lot of reasons for that, but they have to be.
All right, let's keep moving. Jack in Minneapolis asks, Ross, is Sean Clifford the man next year?
Right to it.
Right to it. Yeah, short and sweet. We like the short and sweet ones.
Let's not mess around. I don't think so. I think it'll be Tommy Stevens.
Interesting.
I think it's Tommy's job to lose. I want to know whether or not he's going to be there for spring ball. That's kind of the big question, because I think that that could make a big difference if he's there for spring ball or not. It's still his job to lose, but I think he's probably going to have a short leash.
That Sean Clifford sure does throw a nice deep ball. That's
Did
all I'm going to say.
That deep ball?
I mean, he puts it where it needs to be, and you don't have to worry so much about contested catches when he's throwing guys open. DeAndre Tompkins, we just talked about him. I was really disappointed. That ball was right on his hands in a tight game. He's got to catch that ball.
That was a rainbow.
You look at Clifford's line, 0-for-2. He couldn't have thrown that ball any better. Nope. And he's done it all year. I just think that I agree with Ross, but if Clifford gets a chance, I don't think he's giving the job back.
All right, yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, when he came in for that one series, he looked like he knew what he was doing, like he had that watching it on TV. Like, you could tell, like, he did not have the deer in headlights. All right, one last one. Brad in Bethesda asked, super genius Ross, Franklin seemed to make better all-around decisions when Joe Moorhead was on the staff. Do you think it would do him well to have somebody else with experience on his staff to help him with game management or not?
Better overall decisions. Like, I would need some specifics on that. What do you think he's referring to, Bob? I don't know.
I think that Joe Moorhead had made it pretty clear when he was there to get out of his way when it came to calling a game. And I'm not sure that maybe Ricky Ronnie makes it quite as clear. I think James might meddle a little bit, I think, when it comes to offensive play calling.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, I guess that would impact the bigger decisions because he's focused more on the offense than he is just on the game management.
Plus, Joe's
stuff.
A little bit more outgoing, is not afraid to share his opinion. Maybe right. Maybe there's other guys that just don't want to say, hey, coach.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. Moorhead was pretty good. Bring him back.
He was. Bring him back. All right, who wins this week?
Westchester.
All right, Jay in Westchester, 409tailgateclub.com. Gift baskets coming your way. That'll do it for Ask Ross. Stick with us. We'll close strong with quarter number four. We'll be right back.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.